We just sang, "You rescued me. So I will stand and I will sing that I am a child of God." That's the focus this morning, actually. We're proclaiming hope. How do we proclaim hope? Do they focus on our sphere of influence? Those who are our neighbors, which I'll mainly talk about neighbors, but that equates to people you work with, people who are on your teams. Your son or daughter plays on different teams and performances. Those groups of people you're with regularly, that's what we're talking about. So if you open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits." You turn over to chapter 3, verse 15 as well. He says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word reveals who You are. You're a holy, powerful, mighty God. And You are a God full of mercy. And out of that great mercy, You have sent Christ to save us, that we may call You our Father, that we may know You as a son or daughter. Thank You for this reading. Thank You for these words. I pray that You will be glorified in our time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So Pastor Tom talked about the context of 1 Peter last week. Peter's speaking to a group of people who are exiles. They're scattered across an area, and they're very much like strangers in the land that they live. Even Peter, even from verse 1 of 1 Peter, he calls them the elect exiles of the dispersion. They're the elect exiles of the dispersion. In other words, you've been chosen by God to be exiles in the place that you live for God's purposes. It's important that we keep this in mind because you live where you live on purpose. You work where you work on purpose. God has sent each one of us, dispersed each one of us out of the building into the world for His purposes. You don't live where you live on accident. It's very much on purpose. God has sent you there. God has an intent for you to be God's people wherever you are in your sphere of influence. You see, throughout Scripture, we see this order. It's a certain order, and we see it here in 1 Peter. Paul, in his letters, you'll see this order. And really, it can be seen with four different questions. The questions are, who is God? It starts with who God is. What has God done? And then, who are we because of what God has done? And then how should we live in light of who we now are because of what he's done to change us to who we are now? So, we see it in Genesis 1, the creation. Who is God? God is creator. What has God done? Well, he created. He's created. He's the creator. He created heavens and the earth. He made man in his image. And who are we in response to that? Well, we're creative beings. We're made in the image of a creative God. And how do we live out in light of who he is and who's created us to be? He says, now knowing this and what I've done, be fruitful, multiply, cultivate the earth. We see throughout scripture, who is God? God is love. What has God done? Well, he sent his son to die for us while we were still sinners. So who are we because of what he's done by sending his son? Well, we're dearly loved by God. We are a son or we are a daughter of God. And how do we live knowing this and being changed by what Christ has done for us? We love others because he first loved us. See, our work always comes out of his work. Our doing comes out of this new being that he's created us because of Christ Jesus. We become somebody because of what God has done so that we can do something in who he's created us to be. We love because he first loved us. We need to keep this order in mind because it's so easy for us to think, you know, I'm going to do something for God so that I can be something. Or I'm going to do something for God so that he'll be pleased with me. Or the more I do for God, he'll love me more. And that is not the gospel. The gospel is it starts with him and he's done something in us through Christ so that we may actually do. We see that order over and over again throughout the scriptures. If we don't understand our identity and who we are in Christ, to make us who we are because of what he's done through Christ, we're going to start doing things out of a wrong motivation. So Peter wants us to understand the foundational point of who we are before he gets into calling us what we should do. So he says, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are a people for his own possession. It starts with who he is, what he's created us to be, and then he calls us to do some things. Here he calls us to be his people first and foremost. But then he calls us to do a couple different things. First, he calls us because of that. Because you're a holy nation. Because you are a royal priesthood, proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You see in verse 9, he says, after he calls it, he says, that it's a purpose clause, that you may declare. We're to declare the praise of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We see it again, we'll look at it in 1 Peter 3:15 as well. He says, we are to give a reason for the hope. We're to proclaim, but it also says, look at verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans, they'll think you're wrong, that they may see your good deeds. And they will glorify God on his day of visitation. Jesus said something similar to that in Matthew 5. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? When he called us salt and light, he also said, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We're to do good deeds, display the excellencies of him, but we're also to proclaim the excellencies of who he is. That's what we're called to do. We've been called to live in such a way that would demand a gospel explanation. And as we're doing these good deeds, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 goes on to say, after it describes the kind of lives we are to live as we submit to the governing authorities, as we work for our bosses different than the world around us, as we love our husbands and love our wives differently than the world around us, and we're willing to bless instead of curse when people are hurting us. He says, you know what? I want you to be prepared to give an answer for the hope, for the suffering that you're going through. So many times we take this verse, 1 Peter 3:15, and we say it's all about us getting ready to debate people into the ground and prove them wrong. Just go out and get your argument ready so you can tell them how wrong they are and prove yourself to be right. This is not what Peter is saying here. He's saying up until this point, live in such a way that demands an explanation of the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15, let me read it again. Listen to what he's saying here. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. And do this in gentleness and respect. Do you hear what he's saying? First of all, regard Christ as holy. He is the center of your life. And the only reason that you suffer, the only motivation you have while you're suffering, and He is the only reason you suffer the way you do. That's the answer. Tell them that answer. It's Jesus. That's the only way I live the way I do. The only way that I act the way I do is because what Christ has done for me. The only way I can love the way I love is because He loved me when I was opposed to Him. That's why I do it. That's the answer. If we're honest, many of us are ready to give answers to people who aren't asking any questions at all. Because our lives don't demand any explanation. Other than the fact that we say we believe in a God of love, but we live like a people of judgment and guilt and worry and gossip. And they're saying, how can you say you believe in a God of love and of hope and of peace and live like this? You're no different than anyone else. And they don't want to know the answer to that question. They just want to reject it. God's saying through Peter, live such good lives among those who think you're wrong, that they would see your life and have cause to give God praise. It's almost like a movie trailer. You know, you go to the movies, get the popcorn, and there's always 4 or 5 movie trailers. You know, that movies that are coming out in the next 6 months or sometime later that year. It seems like every time I go, there's some type of sci-fi trailer. I'm not into sci-fi, so I'm always like, I'm not going to see that. And then there's something about animals. You know, there's a, follow this penguin, the life of a penguin going back home. And it's like, we don't have kids in elementary school anymore, so I probably won't see that. But then there's a couple, it's like, and the whole purpose of a movie trailer is to get your attention. Like, I can't wait to see that. And then usually Stephanie's sitting next to me, put that in your phone so we don't forget. Because then we forget. And so it's like, put a note in your phone so that we want to see that movie. But isn't that what he's saying? You are a foretaste of what is meant to be. We are to be a people that live in such a way that the people have cause to give God praise on His day of visitation. We're going to give a foretaste of the reality of when God comes and He makes all things new. But we're not nearly as good as the real thing, as the end. We're just a messed up foretaste of something that is going to be incredible. But they should look at our lives and say, okay, they were okay. They gave me a little glimpse, but God, You are awesome. You are awesome. And I got to experience a little bit of that in my neighborhood while I was still alive. Isn't that what we're called to do? That they can experience a little bit of who God is because we've been sent to represent and be Christ to other people. I don't know how many of you in here would say you're worship leaders. You know, some of you lead in worship. I think if we were to ask honestly, we would all be worship leaders, or should be worship leaders. Unless you're not a follower of Christ, unless you're not a child of God, he said we should live such good lives amongst those people who don't believe, they would have cause to worship God. That we're called to lead people into the worship of God. Wherever we live, wherever we're placed, you're living a life that demands the worship and praise of God. You're leading people into worship. You all know that worship isn't just about the songs that we sing. And we can lead in worship by getting people's hearts and affections set on Christ. Leading people to that place. Living a life where they look at our lives and say, wow, only God could have done that. Because I know Him. This isn't natural. He would never do something like this. Unless something or someone came into His life and changed them. Now, He's saying we do that in such a way that demands a gospel explanation. Remember, He also says earlier in the chapter, we are God's possession. We are God's own possession, and He owns you. And the reason that He has bought you with His Son's life so that we would proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Do we believe that? Do you believe that your life demands a gospel explanation? And the reason that God chose you to be His own people so that you would declare His excellency to anyone who would ever ask. Do you believe it? Are you ready to give that answer? Do you know how to declare the glory of God if you were asked? Are you even expecting it? To talk about the greatness of who Jesus is? Is it part of your prayer life? As you're driving into work, as you're walking through your neighborhood, do you pray on a daily basis, God, give me an opportunity today that I might just declare your excellencies? Give the hope that I have because of the life that you've given to me? Do we pray that? We should. That should be regularly on our thoughts and our minds and our prayers. Because if we don't believe that, if we don't believe He's giving us these opportunities, that's what He's called to do, we're going to walk around and think it's unusual for these type of things to happen. But if we begin to believe who we are and what He's called us to do, we're going to think that these things should be happening on a regular basis. That He's placed you in your neighborhood to do this on a regular basis. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to Him. We don't belong just for our own purposes anymore. We belong for His purpose. One of the greatest things is He's already gone ahead of us to prepare the hearts for those that you're going to share about that hope. It's amazing. Amazing that God not only calls us and shapes us, but He also stirs in the hearts of those who are you already going to be talking about. I love that. We just walk into it. I wonder, as you're going into it, I just wonder today who God is preparing for me to share the excellencies of Him who called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. Is that even on our forefronts, in our minds? I love the celebrating hope. You know, the story of Leah, she shared about something that is amazing and what this is actually calling us to do. We should have this every week. Think about that. If we had a celebrating grace every single week because of what He's saying, who we are and what we're called to do, that sign-up sheet would be full all the time. hey, Pastor Tom, can I do a Celebrating Grace? There is a year and a half waiting list. It's like, that is what we're called to do. It's exactly it. I love that. That's why he's purchased you. It's important as we look at this, we proclaim the gospel. We're also supposed to demonstrate the gospel. Sometimes we get rid of one of these, if we're honest. We can say, you know, we're to be a people that live on display and of the glory of God and all he's about. And so many we think if we just live good lives, do good deeds, I am an example of Christ, and that's enough. We've heard a phrase like, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Let's get rid of if necessary and put when necessary, because it is necessary. It's necessary. Because a lot of times, I live a good life, I love people, I care for them, and sometimes I think that's all that really matters. They'll just figure it out. No, they won't. How are they going to figure it out? They'll just think that you're good moral people, and all they have to do is be good moral people too. And that's enough. Because if God loves you and has saved you because you're good moral people, then we'll just be extra good moral people, and that's enough for God to accept us. And that's not enough. Listen to Romans chapter 10, 15 through, or 13 through 15. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in him and they've never heard? And how are they going to hear unless someone is preaching? And how are they going to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. I think we're all called to be worship leaders. I also believe we're all called to be preachers. We're all called to be preachers. Although Pastor Mitchell and Pastor Tom, they're great preachers, they aren't the only preachers. They're here to equip you to be faithful to the gospel wherever God sends you. That really is what it's about. How are they ever going to hear unless someone is sent to preach the gospel where they are at? Think about all the people in this community. Think about all the people in your neighborhood and your workplace and those on the soccer teams and the dance teams. And think about all those people that you know in your sphere of influence. The people that never come inside this building. Do you think they're just going to show up? Sometimes they do. But that's why God sent you. We are a church scattered, and God has a place for you to be the gospel, to declare the excellencies where you live, and it's on purpose. And that's what he's chosen you to do. It's an amazing thing. You may say, you know, I'm not a preacher. I could never get up and do something like that. But maybe that's not what God is calling you to do, but he's called you to at least proclaim and be the good news and share and declare the good news where you are at. Just like we just saw earlier this morning. That we're to proclaim the good news of his marvelous light that drew us out of darkness into that hope of eternity. It's an amazing thing. You're just telling people about the hope you have in Jesus and how he is your only hope. We're called to be worship leaders. We're called to be preachers. How many of you want to be better preachers? Yeah, me too. You want to know the best way to be a better preacher? Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to Christ as he empowers you, as he fills you, as he changes you. Live a life that demands a gospel explanation. As you get people over and over again to ask about the hope you have, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, everyone's asking me. I need to start studying and I need to start being able to articulate clearly the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. is going to force you to become a better preacher so that you can declare the excellencies in a way that is clear and understandable for those who don't know. One of the great things about Pastor Mitchell and Pastor Tom is they're not calling you to do anything they're not doing already. And if you believe the gospel, if your life has been changed by the gospel, he's grabbed hold of your life, you're in love with Jesus, when you talk about him, it's going to be real. It's going to be authentic. It's something that's happening inside of you. If it's not happening in you, if he's not changing you, if you don't understand the love of Christ, you're not going to talk about it with any sense of conviction. Are your hearts, are your affections set on Jesus? Is he changing you? Is he your hope? Is he your strength? Is he your all? Because unless Jesus is center and we're so excited about who he is and what he's done, if we're not, it makes sense why we wouldn't talk about him. But if we are, I really don't understand why we wouldn't. I think there's a lot of different reasons why we may not talk about him. I mentioned one earlier. Maybe people don't want to listen. But I wonder if there's a deeper thing. Maybe we're not fully impressed with who he is. Maybe we don't believe the gospel is sufficient to save. Do we believe it? Maybe we think, you know, my neighbor, he's been asking some questions. We have a great relationship. And I found Jesus. I don't want to be awkward or anything. Might push him away, so he'll just find something else. That is a lie. There is no other way to the Father except through the Son. Sometimes we need to walk through the awkwardness because of the hope that we know and we've found and that we have. Do you know it? Does it matter? Does it matter that your neighbors don't know it? We are sent to proclaim the gospel everywhere that God has sent us. You know, some of us have good deeds, and we don't proclaim the gospel, but there is a flip side. Some of us love to preach. I love to debate. I have a bunch of great articles that get forwarded to me, and I post them on social media. I would love to declare things, but our lives don't match that love. We don't have any good deeds. To preach the gospel, to declare the gospel, that and we don't demonstrate the gospel, it's confusing to people. I know a God of love, but most of the people I work with, they're jerks. I hate them. I know a God of love, and they're okay, and I know a God of love, but I hate one of the presidential candidates. And I'm going to let everyone know about it. That's confusing to people. I know a God who was sent from heaven. In the incarnation, he came to us on earth. But I won't walk across the street to get to know my neighbor. I know a God who served me. When I was needy, when I was hurting, when I was broken, when I was alienated. My neighbor needs help fixing their fence. They'll just have to deal with it. It's confusing to people. We say God is like all these things, but then we don't live it out. That's confusing. Paul says, become imitators of God as dearly loved children. Because when we're children of God and we cherish Him, we spend time with Him, when we're in His Word learning more about Him, we're going to start to imitate who He is. If we preach the gospel and don't live the gospel, it's confusing to people. If we just live the gospel without preaching the gospel, it's condemning to people. You all remember Romans 1. First part of Romans 1, Paul says, all the general revelation that God has put in place, it leaves us without excuse. Because we've seen what a great God He is just from what He's made. When we are representing God and they see God in our lives, He's created us in Christ Jesus. They see God in our lives and they say, wow, that is amazing. But we never tell them about Jesus leads to condemnation. A life without good deeds, without an explanation to God, it's condemning to people because now they're without excuse. They don't have any answers. They may be wowed because they see God in you, but they have no idea what God has done to make you who you are. We gotta have both. I heard a story just recently about a business owner. He was a Christian business owner. Small business, you know, he knew all of his employees. And, this is a man, you know, supervisor of some people, and he was full of grace. He treated his employees well. He was honest. Really wanted to be a ministry. And after about 3 years, this employee they had a good relationship, and after 3 years, he wanted to go to lunch, and this employee told this business owner, said, I've become a Christian. I know you're a Christian. I just wanted to let you know. He's like, no, that is great. That's what I've always wanted for people that work for me. And the man said this to the business owner. He said, you know, for the longest time, I didn't want to be a Christian because of you. And he was, yes, you know, was it something I said? Did I do something right? He said, no, it's none of that. You've always been nothing but kind. But as I watched your life, I knew that I could be nothing like you, so I didn't even want to become a Christian. He saw the hope, but there was no explanation of why the hope was there. And that's condemning to people. We need both. We need both. And you may say, you know what? Yeah, but I'm not perfect. There's so much of my life where I don't always represent Christ well. I think you declare the gospel like this. You walk over. The first service, Layla, she said, you know, she didn't first go through it. She was really nervous. We're all nervous. We all are. There's an awkwardness, but you can declare the gospel. You walk across the street to your neighbor and you say something like this. You know, I just want to come over and say, you know, I've lived here for 20 years and I've never really taken the time to come over and get to know you. I know there's some ways I could have helped you over the years and I never have. That wasn't very loving of me. I just want to ask if you'll forgive me. I mean, you could think what the neighbor's thinking, like, whoa, why in the world would you come over to my house and ask for forgiveness? Like, that makes no sense to me. I'll tell you why. He was a neighbor to me when I was in need. And you start to declare and talk about the hope that you have. Do you think that people in your neighborhood, people in your office are just dying for this idea of grace and forgiveness? That we can walk up to them and maybe you make, you know, chicken Alfredo. And you walk it, I mean, it's still going to be awkward, but you say, you know, I just want to bless you with this. And it just opens up that door. I think one of the greatest compliments that you could ever receive, not necessarily, that was a great budget proposal. Way to go. Or you did a great presentation the other day. That was awesome. Or your car is so cool. Those are great. But I think something deeper and even more powerful than that, when you're having coffee or you're having lunch with someone and you get through some of the small talk, and they just kind of pause and they say, "You're different. Like I just noticed how you treat people. I noticed how you've been responding. I notice there's some hurtful things that have happened in your life this past year, but you still have joy. You're confident. Why is that?" People are begging for the gospel. They're begging to know the hope that is in you, that is displayed, and they see it in you. And it's almost like they're just begging that you would tell them, just proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That you would be able to, in COVID season and out of COVID season, be prepared to talk about the hope that you have in Christ. Is that your prayer? When it happens, and it should happen, it shouldn't be unusual, but when it does happen, they say, "Will you share about the hope that you have?" Or however they say it. Do you know what you're going to say? Do you know how to share your story of God's grace in your life? That's what we're going to talk about next week. We need to be prepared. Do you know how to share the gospel, to be able to articulate the truth of the gospel when asked? So I'm praying, I'm saying that if we're all praying that God would give these opportunities, and we start praying that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us and let us know when these opportunities happen, it's going to happen. Would you know how to declare the gospel? So the next 2 weeks, this is the movie trailer. Next week is talking about your story, how you've been saved, how God's changed you. And then the following week is how do we share and articulate the gospel in a clear way? Let's pray together. God, we are moved by You. Your saving grace. We confess that there's many days we live and we're worried and we don't sense Your love on a regular basis. Lord, help us stay connected to You, so when we're connected to the true vine, You would give us life, You would give us love, we would love the gospel. We would be so blown away by Your love for us. Because it is nothing that we've done. And it's Your great mercy that we're called Your people. I pray that You would empower us, renew our minds with the mind of Christ, that we might represent You, that we might live these good deeds, in order that we may have some conversation, be able to share about the hope we have, so that people would be able to glorify You. You deserve all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.